The Griot's Remedy, produced by Book Loudly, a division of Pecan Tree Creative Solutions, is designed to be an entertaining and insightful creative exploration of life issues through the lenses of characters written in fiction and creative nonfiction stories and excerpts or full versions of scripts written for the stage or film. Thoughts, comments, and observations by the host, coaches, counselors, and therapists are not to be construed as personal advice or direction. The host, coaches, counselors, and therapists are also not offering and will not offer mental health advice specific to a listener's individual life or situation, but are sharing individual thoughts and observations. If the themes discussed in this segment resonate with you, we strongly recommend you seek the advice of a licensed mental health care professional or a licensed life coach or life strategist. Visit the podcast site at booklautly@pecantreebooks.com for resources related to the themes highlighted in this segment.
Welcome to The Griot's Remedy, a Book Loudly production, part of Pecan Tree Creative Solutions. This is where authors, coaches, and mental health professionals gather around the mic to explore themes brought to life in fictional works. What will they pull out of their bag on this episode? Keep it locked right here to find out. Here is your host, author, publisher, and award-winning playwright, E. Claudette Freeman.
We've made it to the third episode of this first season of The Griot Remedy. I am so proud of us. We did it. I am E. Claudette Freeman, and as always, joining me on the panel for discussion is Wena Wise, who's a licensed couple and family therapist, certified professional coach, clinical writer, and public speaker in the D.C. metropolitan area. She's the owner of Covenant Counseling and Consulting and Covenant Coaching Academy. With over 15 years of experience helping individuals, couples, and families achieve the personal and relationship results they desire, Wena has earned the reputation of being a foremost authority on relationship repair. Her clinical advice is currently featured in over 15 mainstream media publications such as NBC News, MSN, Insider, and USA Today. Wena speaks to local, national, and international audiences about relationship education, trauma recovery, and the role of spirituality in modern day relationships. And you can visit her. It's covenanttherapy.com, correct, Wena?
That's correct.
Covenanttherapy.com to purchase her in-home session series, schedule an appointment, or book Wena for your next event. Our second panelist is Ms. Renee Audrick, who's a board-certified professional life coach, counselor, author, and meditation and mindfulness trainer. She holds an MBA in business management and organization and has over 30 years of experience as a professional with expertise in relationships, training, leadership, caregiving, and organization. She is the CEO of Meditational Moment Incorporated and Meditational Academy, which is a virtual mobile movement that has been established to counsel, educate, train, and inspire all individuals to incorporate meditation in their lives as a catalyst for God alignment. As a sought-after speaker, Renee has been noted as a voice of influence and encouragement for those needing to push past complacency into a place of purpose and destiny. You can connect with Renee at meditationalmoment.com for bookings and appointments. And I want to just say that all of that fire that these two ladies bring us as it relates to experience has been explosive on this season so far. I have learned so much, and the journal nerd in me has taken down so many so many notes. It's not even, you know, I can hear my son now, Mondo, you really need another notebook. But nevertheless, I am ready for this conversation because I think we're going to pull out some interesting things from it. So this piece is called Smooth Like Batter. And in this theater short, Paige, a young married woman, has run home to the grandparents, Gamarine and Charles, who helped raise her. She has done so because she believes her marriage is in trouble, and wisdom for Paige unfolds through her grandmother as she bakes and questions the nature of Paige's behavior and her absence from her marriage.
Amazing grace. I think somebody had finally lost their marbles.
Paige does not respond, but continues errantly moving things from the table,
until she reaches for one item and is popped by Gamarine.
Ow! What'd you do that for?
Was my stuff bothering you?
What? What are you talking about?
I'm trying to make a cake. What in that cloud overhead of yours make you think you should start moving stuff off my table? Okay, cat got your tongue. Hope he doesn't have your hands, too. Now put my butter and eggs and whatever else you move back on my table.
Ish doesn't respond, so Gamarine pops her on the shoulder.
It's you I'm talking to.
No, I'm not 7 years old anymore. And you really are going to have to stop hitting me like that.
Number one, you don't ever tell me what I'm going to have to do. And number two, you disturbed me. I didn't disturb you. And number three, what in the hell is wrong with you?
I was distracted, that's all. I was trying to help.
I'm not talking about moving stuff. I'm talking about why you've been here for the last few days and not at home with your husband. He is still your husband, isn't he?
Yeah, Marie. Why are you always asking questions?
Because it's how you get answers. Now, this is day four, and you haven't had the common decency to say why you sleeping in my house and not yours. I respected you enough to give you a minute to show me the same thing. But since you didn't, what's going on?
I think James is seeing somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
She turns her attention back to the cake preparation but says nothing else. Paige is thrown off by her non-reaction.
Is that all you have to say? I think he has another woman.
I heard you loud and clear. I guess I was waiting for you to tell me why you here and not at home with your husband talking about this supposed other woman. I tell you what, if I thought somebody else was tapping mine, I sure as hell wouldn't give the two of them 4 days to play footsie in other parts.
I can't even look at him.
You said you think, so you really don't know. But why you think?
He complains all the time. He works all the time. He's talking about starting business all the time.
Well, with all that time eating up and all the time he keep trying to talk to you, don't sound to me like he's got time to lay with you or anyone else. But sounds like you got a whole lot of time to be imagining stuff.
Really, Grandma?
Really, granddaughter. Now come soften this butter for me.
Paige rises and moves over to the bowl and begins her task. Gamarine busies herself and pours each of them a glass of tea.
Now, what's he complaining about?
Says I don't cook like I used to. Says I don't seem like I'm interested in him anymore.
And you don't tell him why you don't? Or that you are still interested?
Paige stops pressing and looks at her, but says nothing.
When you was a little girl, we would sit here at this table when your mama and daddy would drop you off and we'd talk. You remember that?
Yes, ma'am. You know I do.
Blend that cream cheese in with that butter. I need them to be like a young married couple ought to be. Blend it so well, you can't tell where one fit and one don't. You hear me?
I hear you. I try.
One Sunday morning, your mama dropped you off. It was an Easter Sunday. She brought you here so she could go home and finish cooking her greens. Lord, your mama can put her foot in some greens.
Actually, so can I, Gamarine. I make them with a little fire like she used to.
Well, you ain't brought none over here for me and y'all. So I imagine you ain't made none for James neither. Anyhow, you and me were right here making pound cake.
And I asked you how long I had to stir because my arms was getting tired. But you kept saying, it's got to be smooth, Paige Pie, smooth.
Smooth like that pretty Easter dress of yours that year. That's how smooth that cake batter has to be. What else I tell you that day? I know you know, because you're kind of weird when it comes to repeating stuff back.
I'm not weird, Grandma. You said when you get yourself a husband, round about when you 21, that's what you got to remember. Men like things smooth. smooth, like the way you should talk to your husband to calm him down from a rough day every evening when he gets home. Just like I don't put no pepper in my pound cake batter, you remember not to put no nagging on no man that don't work hard all day. When a husband come home, he wants a hot meal, a big old piece of pie or cake, and his wife's so sweet, she makes that pie taste bitter. Now, what I say?
That's it. You got lazy, Paige. Now, I'm not saying you don't work hard. I know you do. But I told you the way you go into loving and living with a man is the way he learns to expect. You weren't raised to do it quick and easy. And you weren't raised to leave lumps when there shouldn't be any. So if James thinks there's some lumps in his batter, and he's trying to tell you about it, instead of running to your grandmother, get to stirring and work it out.
Why don't you just tell me I ain't welcome here then?
You always welcome here. But you can't hide here because you're being spoiled rotten and refusing to have serious conversations with a man you married. Now, you want him to be a good little toy for Paige. And when he tell Paige he needs some things, too, you up and pout and leave. Everything takes work, and marriage ain't no different. Now, you've been hiding here for 4 days. That's 4 days you could have been straightening out your dirty laundry at home.
I think she cooks for him. I know she cooks for him. But she's real slick about it. But I recognize her game.
And what's her game?
She talks a lot and asks a lot of questions about what James likes. And when they had potluck on Fridays at work, he used to always ask me to make something. Then he stopped. But he would come home with them damn foil wrap plates and carry on about how good this was and how good that was. And he brought us both a dinner plate.
Well, now, you're a little thick in the head. That man ain't sleeping with that woman. Oh, she clearly got an invitation written on them plates. But he bringing home two, not one. Ain't no man crazy enough to feed one woman what the other woman done cooked. If she heating him up, if you know what I mean.
Yes, ma'am, I do. And I don't know what that I'm good going there with you.
53 years. I still got my man. Now, what I say?
You still got your man. And by the way, who's this cake for? Didn't you just make a cake last night?
Before she can answer, Charles, her grandfather, walks into the kitchen carrying a small plate with cake on it and an empty glass. He places the glass on the table but hands the plate to Gamarine. Paige watches his motions curiously.
Irene, listen, this cake ain't as moist as your usual ones. It tastes all right. Got a little funny aftertaste, though. If it's all the same, I like what you normally do.
He hugs her in a very reassuring way and then takes the plate out of her hand and dumps the cake in the garbage can and hands her the empty plate.
Well, you know what, y'all? I'm just not going to try these different recipes no more. Sometimes it's best to stick with what you know is the right thing.
That's the sure enough truth, Irene. I'm going down to the Piggly Wiggly and see if I can get some chitlins. If I clean them.
I'll cut up the onions as soon as I put the cake in the oven.
You want to ride with me, Peggy Pooh?
No, sir. I think I'll head on home when I'm done helping Grandma.
Turns to walk out, but she calls out to him.
Papa, what do you think a spoiled woman ought to cook to say she's sorry?
Well, now that really depends on that man. And that woman.
I hear you, Papa. I hear you. Give me a hug, old man.
He hugs her and walks out. When she hears the door slam, Gamarine laughs loudly, waves the empty cake plate in the air, and goes back to finishing her other cake.
Okay.
I knew you wasn't going to like it. That wasn't my recipe. The batter you wearing all over your face and in your hair. Now, that's what I normally do. Listen here, Paige, if I, every once in a while, you switch things up a little bit and see if folks notice it. If they do, they should have let you know they liked what you was doing in the first place. But you got to serve it all to the righteous enough and consistent enough for them to know your potential. And you got to pay enough attention and concern to know whether they paying the same kind of attention.
I've been paying attention to the wrong stuff, huh? He's talking one life where he always talks about, and I'm not hearing.
And Paige, girl, make sure you switch up on your own thing. Don't let nobody, especially nothing wearing a skirt, come up in your house and show and tell you how to change things. Even if she coming on a foil wrap paper plate, you throw it in the back of the icebox and serve your hot and good on the pretty china Aunt Pearl gave you. Now what I say?
Serve it hot, good, and often.
Now, let me tell you what you ought to do. It's Friday, and you ain't called Jane since you've been here.
I know, that was wrong.
It's okay. Your papa been secretly calling him, telling him what you up to. Now, I'm going to tell you two things about that little episode you just saw there with me and your granddad. He got sour milk cake with a little pickle relish juice for flavor.
Gamma ring, that sounds nasty.
Oh, it was, baby. I had to taste a tad to make him think it was all right to come in here and cut the side off a mountain like he normally does.
But why?
Charles used to have himself a Roman eye, and the rest of him was Rome too. But I loved him, and he loved me. And he loved me enough to tell me in his own way when he'd been stupid.
Not my papa.
Girl, please. The first few years we was married, when he got stupid, I got stupid. I'd feed him all kind of stuff and say little stuff when I did. Finally, he stopped straying. And we came to an understanding. You stop breaking my heart, and I'll stop brewing up something that just might kill you.
So his eyes are roaming again?
No. I told you every now and then you got to make sure. He calls it being fought. I tell him I call it loving you enough to remind you that I want to know you paying attention.
Okay, so what do you get in return, Gabrielle?
Chitlins.
Chitlins?
Chitlins. Charles ain't never ate a bite of chitlins nobody else cooked, not even his mama, God rest her soul. Truth be told, he don't really like them, but he'll clean them, and he'll sit right there in that chair and eat them with me because I love them. He won't complain about them, and he'll even tell me how good they are. Now, what I say?
Appreciate the ones to appreciate you. It's good to do for someone's what's uncomfortable for you to let them know that you appreciate them.
Now, what time do they do that potluck on James' job?
Oof, about 15 minutes.
Well, I hope you got something a little porch in your old closet in there. You need to put it on, throw your hair together, take him a nice homemade cake.
Relish pound cake is not gonna say I'm sorry, Gamarine.
Suppose not. But the one down there in the cabinet, in my Tupperware cake taker wheel, I put apricot glaze on it.
James likes that, and you remember.
And you better remember, too. And learn how to make it for him, even better than I can. Now, what I say?
Don't let another woman feed my man what I know he likes. You wouldn't happen to have any butter pecan ice cream, would you?
And the church said, amen. Now get on out of my kitchen so I can finish this up and get ready to put my chitlins on.
Yeah, Marine begins singing when a man loves a woman and playfully swats Paige on the butt, who grabs the ice cream and runs out the kitchen, Tupperware cake taker in hand, towards the bedroom.
I have to say, ladies, that I think Paige is probably a little bored. Paige sounds a little bored to me. And she sounds like she's probably been listening to the wrong people and watching something on TV. All of the above. No. But she does sound like she's got a, I happen to agree with her grandmother. She sounds like she's got a whole lot of time on her hand to come up with stuff. And it could be accurate. I don't know. So we've got some interesting things, in here. Problem and situation evasion, relational uncertainty, insecurity, and I think you said lack of emotional awareness by Paige.
Yes, that's definitely where I would dig in.
Okay, yeah. So dig on.
I love how this piece highlights that a woman can be emotionally unaware at times. Love that piece, because we come down so hard in heterosexual relationships on men for being unemotionally available and potentially unaware at times. But this happens, people. It happens. It happens. Mm-hmm. And I love how Gamarine called her out on how much grass she let grow between her and James's feet when there was a sign that something might be amiss and Paige didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. She ran off to her grandma's house and stayed there for 4 days without calling, texting. And yes, that causes so much emotional injury in a relationship, regardless of whether or not your partner is wrong for whatever they did. Couples have to figure out how to stay connected to each other in some way, shape, or form. And so it was great that Gamarine spent so much time helping her see that she might be clueless and that there may be another side to this story.
Right, right. Yes. And I agree with you, Lena, to leave home, because I would imagine by the time you decide to leave your home, you've probably been, as they say, ruminating about this for a few days. So you're doing all of that. You're doing all of that rumination and packing to leave. Mm. But you're not talking to the one that you think there's a problem with.
Correct.
Yeah. Right. And in that absence. Go ahead.
And so that does show immaturity. Right. That shows a very dangerous level of immaturity, because you're in the house with someone and not talking to the person you're in the house with.
Oh.
But you're upset with him because he's talking to you. About things that he wants for himself and for the relationship. And so it's like, OK, I think Gamarine said it wonderfully. You being spoiled, you want him to be a nice little boy for you.
Yeah. And it's just funny, you know, just how wonderfully her grandmother redirected her to go back, you know, because left to herself, she began to wreck herself. Like, she began to create these scenarios that were non-existent just because of his comments, just because he said, you know, that things are changing. You don't seem interested in me. You're not cooking. You know, she didn't want to receive that. So instead of receiving those things that she deemed as negative, she decided to, you know, let me go over here. Let me go to grandma's house where, you know, I could be coddled, where I can get, you know, some cake and I can just sit in my and wallow. But in that wallowing, she started to create this expected end, you know, to her marriage. Like, it's all gloom and doom. He has another woman, you know, there's somebody else. She's cooking for him. Like, where did all this come from? And if you would go back to the source, to the man that you married, the one who is, you know, basically screaming, you know, there's some help needed in our relationship, and you're not opening up. You're not saying, okay, what is it? What's going on? You know, that communication is key.
Yeah. And I think for a young man to be able to express his concerns in the relationship to his wife, he didn't go home to his parents. He was expressing those things to his wife, and he was expressing what he wants to do, what he wants the next step to be for him and for them. And you're right, Renee, she was not listening.
No.
it's like, you know, it's listening to it. It's like, okay, girl, what were you hearing?
Right.
What were you hearing? Okay, you get upset because the man stopped asking you to make dishes for the potluck Well, but it kind of, he probably did it because you were probably giving him a hard time about it. Mm-hmm. So it's either continue to get the hard time or just stop asking.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I just kind of wonder if that was probably the thing she really should have paid attention to in the relationship, is the things that he had begun to stop asking about and mm-hmm. to stop asking for.
Yeah. And it, you know what, one of the things that really stuck out to me is the fact that, you know, oftentimes we want to go to other people, and here it is, he's speaking up. He's, you know, expressing that we need to do something differently, that it's not the way that it was when we first met, that the picture looks different. And so in that, her running to her grandmother, I love the wisdom. I love the pouring into her wise sayings and just things that would help her, help to redirect her. But if we don't have that person,
yeah,
you know, and the only person that we have is our mate, you know, we can't run hide in a closet. But we have to face the reality of what it is that, you know, love takes work. Relationship, love is an action word. And action means that you have to do something. You have to move in a way. You have to, if something needs to change, then what do we do to change it? This is not a me thing. This is a us thing, because we both need to be complete and happy and excited about, you know, seeing each other and being with each other,
yeah.
you know, having conversation with each other, loving yeah. each other. And it takes work. It's not, we change daily, you know, because of the experiences that we have in life, because of the ways that we turn and the things that we allow ourselves to be exposed to. We are not the same. And because we are not the same,
yeah.
we can't expect the same things.
No.
So, you know, just like we change in the things that we like to eat, you know, one year we're all about chocolate. Next year, we don't like chocolate anymore. And
yeah.
so in the same realm, this is exactly what's happening in our likes and our dislikes in our relationship. But if we don't communicate them, then that's where we allow room for things to come in, you know, these us other relationships, because then we start to look out instead of looking in.
One of the things that Gamarine said that concerned me a bit was she called Paige over to melt the butter. And mm-hmm. she said, well, you know, what did I teach you about that? And Paige recalled her saying that I need to blend this to make it smooth, make like it a young mm-hmm. couple in love. And I thought, oh, no. See, that's a misconception,
mm-hmm.
though,
mm-hmm.
because there is rarely anything smooth about the first couple of years of a marriage.
Not at all.
And the blending part can take so much time and energy. And sometimes you find out that you don't blend at all, particularly when you don't have the right people around you, like again, Maureen, to help you along your journey.
Mm-hmm.
And when people like Paige see that this isn't going to be smooth sailing. Okay, I caught my mate, but now I got to keep my mate. And the things that I have to do to keep this relationship are going to be so much different than the things that I did to start it. They
yeah.
go, uh-oh, something's wrong, and yeah. I need to leave.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And she was out, mm-hmm. right? And she went to her grandma's house and was like,
yeah.
I'm not calling you. I'm not texting you. Whatever
yeah.
you're doing, you can do it without me. That is common, and people mm-hmm. need to know that.
Mm-hmm.
You just yeah. up and leave and don't call, huh?
She gave up. She gave up because, you know, the reality of changing, the reality of doing something different, because she's got settled in complacency. I'm just showing up. I'm wife. I'm doing great. You know, but what does that great look like in his eyes? And, you know, the great has to be something that we create together. You know, it can't be one-sided great. Like, if I'm doing this, then you should be satisfied. Why?
Right.
Why do I have to be satisfied with what you think? We're two different people. And so, you know, that's when it comes to the fact that you have to come to the table. You have to come to the table and discuss, because like when Weena said, there are the hardest part of times in a relationship is the first 5 years. And
right.
so, you know, because you're learning each other, you're trying to, you know, deal with the fact that now I have this other being that I have to consider before I go and do. And, you know, it's not just about me, 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 if, you know, in my single life. So there's a transformation that takes place and an understanding that, you know what, there's some spaces where a compromise has to come in. There's some spaces where empathy has to come in. There's some spaces where consideration has to come in. And in all of that, this is how we form our marriage, because even the formation of Gamarine's marriage can't be the formation of mine. And so she's given wise sayings and she's showing what works for her, it may not work the same way for me. But we can only create that picture together. So if I'm over at Gamarine's house and
creating together,
you know, we're not creating nothing.
I want to be, I agree. And don't add kids to that first 5 years, Renee, because that's another journey, right? It's a hostile takeover. It's us trying to learn about each other and then the kids literally inflicting violence on both of us, right?
Yeah.
But I also want to add here that when she goes back later to apologize with the cake, with the apricot glaze, let's be clear. Those first couple of years, when you're learning how a person moves and operates, there are some injuries that occur that don't easily get resolved. And couples end up on my couch because you're teaching your partner what to expect from you in the earlier years. So when she left, from her husband's perspective, that's
what he can expect.
Very powerful message that might be what he can expect. So it's going to take more than a cake.
Yes.
So it's kind of like when Gamarine said to her, don't start out in a relationship doing something that you're not going to want to keep up. But by that same token, what she's shown her husband in this relationship is that this is how I'm going to show up. This is how I'm starting this relationship. When something is going on, I'm not going to talk to you about it.
Correct.
Two, I'm going to up and leave and still not talk to you about it.
Right.
Right. And possibly three, I'm going to bring you something you like, hoping that gives me a door in for you to accept the apology.
Correct. And it might, but I want people to understand that it takes far more repair than that.
Yes.
So ultimately, even if husband accepts that apricot cake and, you know, the horse clothes that she puts on to go up to the potluck, when this cycles back around and they hit a rough bump, he has potentially learned to look out for whether or not anything's going to be really different. And this is where partners make a mistake. She may want to quickly dismiss it like, you know, I apologized. I brought the cake. I wore the clothes, right? Mm-hmm. I'm back home now. But don't be surprised if your partner is still giving you the side eye and needing more consistency from you because you've taught them early on that there may be some emotional immaturity or a lack of awareness of how they feel and what they need in the relationship. Paige has got a lot of work to do with her husband now, period.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like what you said when you took, you know, once you come back. So once you come back and once you, you know, bring the cake and whatever else, whatever trickery you bring in order to make peace, right? Whatever you
trickery, I love it.
Right.
Trickery.
Right. To make peace, because sometimes we use it because we don't want to face ourselves. We don't want to, say an apology that also exposes admittance. Like, I want to admit that this is what I did wrong. And
it's maybe vulnerability.
I don't know the right way to, you know, get past this. But in this is a weak area for me. And maybe if we can talk about it, or you can help me to understand where you're coming. You know, we have to get to a place where I have to expose myself. I have to not just bring a cake and some clothes and say this, hey, baby, it's okay. Everything's okay. We're good now. But in this space where I'm trying to be good, what does that look like for you? Like, what do I need to do differently or change or do better? And it may not mean that I have to, you know, lose myself, but it may mean that I have to gain a space of understanding that you and I can move together, you know, that you and I can get past this together, that I'm not just putting a Band-Aid over a wound that never heals.
Right. Yeah, because right now Paige is operating on Gamarine's mother wit.
Exactly.
She is not operating out of her own understanding of what it takes to be a good partner to her mm-hmm. husband. Mm-hmm. And partners can tell sometimes when your trickery and all of your pixie dust that you're sprinkling is just a smoke screen. They're looking to see, am I really going to be cared for in this relationship? And are you getting it on a deeper level that this is what it's going to take for us to build a partnership?
Yes. That's it. Deeper level.
Yeah. So let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, let's put Paige in the chair and give Paige some real, put on your big girl panties advice. All right. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Broken, fragmented, searching for wholeness. Does that sound like you? Could guided meditation, online self-paced and live courses help you become unstuck and get onto a steady and consistently forward moving path? Renee Otterick, founder of Meditational Moment Academy, is poised to assist you in strengthening and revitalizing your mental health through teaching, mentoring, life coaching, and counseling. Discover more at meditationalmoment.com or connect on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook by searching for at Meditational Moment. Let your journey to wholeness begin today.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in 1,000 pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
We hope you're enjoying the show so far. Let's dive back into the Griot's Remedy from Book Loudly, a division of Pecan Tree Creative Solutions. And remember, you can always drop a comment on our Facebook or Instagram page. Look for Pecan Tree Pub.
All right, my sister. So we've been, poor Paige, I feel like we've just been giving poor Paige a hard time, but Paige started this. Paige started this. So, we've talked about the fact that Paige has got some work to do because she's shown her insecurity. She's shown that she tends to evade problems and situations, especially when they arise in her marriage. And that was evident through her just leaving and going to her grandparents' house and then not calling her husband. And I think that's unfortunate because she put her grandfather in a position to take some degree of responsibility in her marriage for letting her husband know where she was and that she was okay. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's unfortunately one of the ways that we inadvertently give other people permission to move and have some kind of credence in our relationship. But let's talk about Paige. So Paige is, she's got the cake with the apricot glaze and Gamarine's Tupperware cake taker, and she's got the butter pecan ice cream. And I find it very interesting that her grandmother knew all of the things her husband liked enough to be able to prepare her granddaughter to go home with a peace offering.
Yeah.
Paige is home with her husband. She's home with James, and she's cut him a piece of cake, but now they got to have a conversation. They've got to have a conversation. So What should Paige be saying? What should she be being transparent and vulnerable about in this moment?
Well, I think the first thing she needs to do is address his concerns. Like, he basically said where there is lack. He said that, is your interest in me is changing. You don't cook enough, you know, or the way that you used to. And so he's already raising a red flag. And so for me, that's the first area that I would, you know, want to go to. Like, here, I have a peace offering, but while we're sitting and having cake, you know, tell me more about the fact that you don't believe that I have lost interest in you, or that I don't have any interest in you. Explain to me what's that looking like to you, so that, you know, maybe I'm not seeing it. Maybe what I'm giving you, I thought was enough, you know, but if we don't talk, if I don't, you know, if I'm not told exactly what you're missing, then how do I know? So at that point, he can't just throw out things and just say, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. Well, what does that mean? You have to be more specific. And sometimes it's that baby talk, like, make it elementary for me so that I can see if it's something that I need to be doing, or see if it's something that I can do, so that we can, you know, get past it, so that we can get past it in a way of agreement, you know, of us agreeing, okay, my interest means that I remember when you used to brush my head when I came in. I remember when you used to kiss me every day. And I remember, oh, that's what you're missing. Like, I got it now. You know what? I'm tired, you know, and you may not know that. I've been sick. I've been, you know, things have been going on in my mind. I've been feeling unsatisfied in my workplace. Well, you know what? All of this is not something that I would have known if you didn't say anything to me, if you didn't talk to me. And so I would start with the things that he mentioned specifically. And then from there, a great conversation can evolve in healing and helping and just exposing that seed of negativity that's trying to make its way into our marriage. It has no room.
Right. So what I'm hearing you say is you have to listen to what he's communicating, but perhaps you also need to be honest about what you're not communicating.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
I agree with everything that Renee said. And you also have to own the fact that you left. You have to actually own that you could not hear your partner's voice when they were trying to talk to you. You did not validate their concerns in any way. You left and did not communicate, and you came back with a peace offering, but you understand that this is just the start of something that has to evolve into a really different routine around handling constructive feedback.
Yeah.
You have to own that, or your partner will walk away from that conversation not clear or convinced that you really get it.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I found interesting in the story is that Paige is very aware of who this supposed other woman is. And she's very aware of the fact that this woman gets a kick out of cooking for her husband. She's very aware of the fact that this woman talks to her husband about things that he's interested in and his vision and that kind of thing. And so, you know, as someone on the outside looking in, I have to ask myself, well, how do you know so much about what this woman has got going on? Mm-hmm. It's either one of two things. Either your husband is sharing this mm-hmm. workplace friendship with you, or somebody else is sharing this workplace friendship mm-hmm. with you. Mm-hmm. Right. And does the lens, does how you view it change based on who's giving you the information?
I think that depends on, go ahead.
No, you know, go ahead, Renee.
But I think it depends on, I think it depends on Paige, because the message is going to remain the same, but how you receive the message is indicative of Paige's character. You know, am I dealing with self-esteem issues, worth issues, value issues? Rejection, like, what am I dealing with that is causing me to have a certain view regardless? Because her husband could easily come home every day and say, hey, you know, I have this cool work friend and she does this and blah, blah, blah. And in the back of her mind, she's already calculated that this woman is wicked. But that's her husband telling her, or the girlfriend that says, girl, I work with your husband and this woman is always in his face. And
right. She'd be doing this, that, and the other.
Right. Right. But both conversations, Paige is taking it a certain way. And so it really depends on where Paige is mentally, emotionally, like, you know, things that she may be deep seated in her past that, you know, she's dealt with rejection or she's dealt with hurt or she's dealt with a abuser physically in the sense of adultery or not so much adultery because this is her first marriage, but even in just an unfaithful relationship. Maybe she saw unfaithfulness in someone else that she loved, or it was in her within a relationship she had. So there's a lot of things there in regards to Paige that I would say, it's not the message, but it's how the message is just, you know, viewed by Paige.
Yeah. And I think that Paige represents the type of person who is inclined to look outward. Mm-hmm. At what factors may be influencing something versus looking inward.
Because
I love how you flip this and make this that a woman is sharing these concerns with the man, the wife to the husband, that what in either situation, what's happening here is that the partner can't take the feedback in. And instead, they're looking at some outside reason that might be causing the rift or the disconnect in the relationship. Mm-hmm. It goes back to that lack of emotional awareness on your own part. And then on the part of other people, you're so busy paying attention to outside actions that you're not in tune with what's happening right in front of you with the person you're supposed to be connected to.
So it's not even necessarily that he might have another woman. You're using that thing to divert from what's really happening in your marriage. Because it's easier for you to put it on another woman rather than the woman who's in the marriage.
Now you got it.
Oh, have mercy.
Now you got it. That there's a whole character type that simply is not naturally inclined to look inward. And say, let me sit with this for a second, out what my part in this is. It, whatever diversion is going on, and it doesn't even have to be a real one. Like Renee said, you can take any situation that you see or hear about from whomever and say, oh, that must be it.
Right.
That's the problem. Before you stop at the level of looking at whether or not the problem is internal. The problem is right here between the two of us. You don't have to look any further. It's not the dog. It's not the mortgage. Yeah. It's not our jobs. Yeah. It's not the friends outside.
And
you know, that makes so much sense about Paige's character type, because even when her grandmother said, you don't need to be here. You need to go home. She was like, just saying you don't want me here. Okay, you missed the whole point.
You spoiled. Boom.
Boom. She said you got it. She put it right back on her grandmother. And there were some times when her grandmother said something extremely witty and Paige just moved on to another subject. She's like, so anyway, what else? What else you got?
Because anything that was directed towards her was like, I'm not receiving that. I'm not going to take that. I want to be told that I'm right. He's wrong. He needs to do the fixing. You know, I want you to tell me that, Grandma. I'm here for that. Grandma Marine was not even accepting that role. She was like, you know, go back home, deal with your husband, talk to him, you know, and she kept pushing her back. And that's a good thing to have, you know, people in our lives that won't allow us to, you know, wreck our own life. Like really, she was setting up a seed of failure because she was already turning away. And so leaving space for those things that she suspect to even come up. Like, why are you leaving this space? Grandma said, go ahead. You're spending too much time here. Go back home.
Right. And I agree with Grandma Reen. If I honestly thought my husband was cheating with somebody, me leaving the house for 4 days is not an option. That's kind of like opening the devil's playground. Right. And just say, okay, all of that, come in. No, I'm not doing that. But I think Grandma Reen also tried to point out something else to Paige that Paige totally missed, and that was you've been raised differently. You've always had the wisdom to know how to walk this thing out a little differently. Yeah, you forget stuff, right? But it's not like there weren't women around you who talked to you about this stuff.
Right.
And so I like that. Yeah, Paige, bless her heart. Bless her heart. Bless her heart. Yeah. One of the things, Weena, you pointed out as it relates to Gamarine and Grandfather Charles was Gamarine got a little passive aggressive behavior going on. She got some passive aggressive communication happening.
Absolutely. And I thought we were going to get out of here without talking about it, because while you highlight that Paige has had some women in her life who have taught her to do things differently, Gamarine also has some old school behaviors that idolize having a man in your life and accepting and tolerating certain behaviors in a way that can make it hard for a young woman to know what to do.
Right.
And so ultimately, Gamarine said a couple of things that were concerning to me. She talked about how in the early years with her and grandpa, when his eyes strayed and he also strayed, meaning that he had some affairs, when he got stupid, I got stupid. And I would say some things that seemed to be a bit off the wall. Right. But that was that passive aggressive behavior that I'm talking about, where instead of addressing it head on, she decided that she was going to concoct her own way of teaching him a lesson. Mm-hmm. And listen, I always say that deciding to stay when your partner is doing something that's unpleasing or even hurtful to you in a relationship, it comes down to the individual. Mm-hmm. And marriage is about the long game. It is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And infidelity doesn't have to be the end of a marriage. It can literally be the wake-up call that some couples need to help them get the connection that they need.
Yeah.
But when she says things like, this should be blended very early on, like butter blends so smoothly. Or she also says something else that was really important about never nagging. Men
when
like
he comes home,
they come home with a hot meal.
Meal, a piece of cake, and don't nag. We're also teaching partners to make their voices so small or to not say things in fear of being that nagging partner that we don't know whether we should come in hot or not say anything at all. And Paige decided, I'm leaving then. Because if I can't adapt to this smooth, subtle, passive aggressive way of managing to hold on to my man, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to go over to Gamarine's house because that's not me. So there's still some educating to be done here with our dear Paige. She doesn't quite know how to show up directly in her relationship like so many of us, because we've heard things like, don't be a nag, don't be a complainer, you know, make sure that your partner is getting enough food, make sure that you're giving them enough sex, make sure that you're doing all these things. But when you don't understand something about your partner, we haven't taught you how to stay and not use the trickery to hold on to your partner.
Right.
There are other ways that we need to teach you how to communicate and listen and take in feedback that have nothing to do with a cake with apricot glaze or some butter pecan ice cream.
We need to talk about communicating before it all builds up into you. And he asks a simple question like, you know, hey, you want to go to a movie? And all of a sudden you hear that he don't want to spend time with me. And then all of a sudden you're responding at 1,020, and he's like, I really just wanted to know, did you want to go to the movie,
right?
But again, we've been taught not to nag, and so I've built up all of these months of not saying what I really wanted to say, and in my head, I've got all of these different narratives going. So when you ask, do you want to go to a movie, and in my little world, what I wanted to do was spend time with you at home. What I heard is you don't want to spend time with me. So now I'm not even nagging. I'm just exploding.
That's right. We either blow up or we shut down, but figuring out what to do in between, that's the lesson that's on the table that we're still teaching people how to learn.
And in that, you know, knowing yourself, like what are the things that are, you know, causing me not to speak up. Like I need to be able to say that I'm not happy. I need to be able to say that things are different. I need to be able to say that and it be received. And I'm speaking of the husband, you know, him being able to say those things and then Paige being able to respond. You know, it's a space here where if there's no response, then we leave, you know, room for things to happen, things that we may not want. We warrant it because we're saying, you know what, I'm just going to stay over in my corner and you stay over in your corner. And that's not how to operate in a marriage. You know, no. We have to come out of our perspective corner. You know, sometimes in those corners, we lick our wounds, we, you know, have our little pity parties. But after a while, you know, when reality comes, when we turn back, we still are facing each other. And so we have to be able to face each other with our issues, whatever it is, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, listening to you ladies talk, it just kind of occurred to me that even with Gamarine and Charles has been very conditioned. When he thinks he's done something wrong, he's very clear that cake may mean that he did something wrong. So what does he do? He goes and gets something that he doesn't like, right? Mm-hmm. And then he's going to get them. He's going to clean them. And anybody that's ever cleaned shitlands knows it is not an easy process.
It's a job.
It is not a labor of love. Yes, Lord. So he's going to go through all of that and then sit at the table and eat something that he really doesn't like. Well, that's just to make sure she's okay.
That's eating a slice of humble pie. It's humble called being pie. In the doghouse. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But knowing in eating that humble pie, I don't think it should be in a space where there's no communication. Oftentimes in a relationship, we do have to eat the humble pie. We do have to digress a little bit because maybe it's not a point where it really is a point that needs to be my point or my way. Mm-hmm. But it's a thing where, okay, this is what you want. This is what I want. And can we come to an equal medium? And so in that equal medium, somebody has to take a slice of pie. Mm-hmm. But when there's no understanding around that and we just systematically just continue to do it, there's no growth. There's no compassion or passion that we bring back into the space because now we've just conformed.
So let's take a quick break.
For every person who's experienced a challenging relationship with their mother, for every child who's ever questioned why their mom was not there, for every adult still struggling with the trauma of an absent parent, pick up a copy of Hello Mom, It's Gigi. First-time author Regina Gigi Hodges walks you through a life of questions, insecurity, indifference, distrust, then finally forgiveness in her memoir detailing the longing for her absent mother. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, and where fine books are sold.
When you were young, you'd scribble a story on notebook paper and proudly read it to an audience of stuffed animals. Just like that, you planted the seed of being a published author. Let that vision grow with Pecan Tree Publishing, a self-publishing company designed by authors for authors. Pecan Tree Publishing works with authors in an array of genres and our inclusive packages featuring editing, printing, publicity, and marketing. Get additional information at www.pecantreebooks.com.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
We hope you're enjoying the show so far. Let's dive back into the Griot's Remedy from Book Loudly, a division of Pecan Tree Creative Solutions. And remember, you can always drop a comment on our Facebook or Instagram page. Look for Pecan Tree Pub.
So, ladies, before we get to final thoughts and giving our wonderful audience something tangible that they can walk away with today, I want to give a special thanks to the cast for Smooth Like Batter. Regina Gigi Hodges as Gamarine, Tony Tanaj as Paige, and Joseph R. Cray as Charles. So thank them so very much for bringing life to those characters. So final thoughts. And if you're the page in this situation, or even I really kind of think, you know, Grandfather Charles needs a little advice too. But if you're the page, that's a whole nother story. I know. If you're the page in this kind of relationship, and you can admit that you've got some of these behaviors, in your final thoughts, give us something tangible and practical and applicable that we can do.
I think we've all run away from something like our dear Paige. And admitting that you are not perfect in a relationship with someone that you love and care deeply about is so hard. It can be so hard. Eating that slice of humble pie can be so hard, but it's so worth it. Your partner is watching. They are listening. And an apology and an admission go a heck of a long way in building the type of relationship that you want. So being transparent when you figure out that you've missed a step or you've checked out emotionally or physically is the key to keeping things on good, solid ground in your relationship.
And I would add to that and saying that to Paige, to all of those pages out there, that love grows. And so in the growing love, it means continuing to go back and seeing what type of seed that you need to continue to plant in order to keep that growth going, in order to, you know, keep that love at a place where there's excitement when I see you, there's excitement when I come into your presence. And so having that love to grow means that I have to evaluate my contribution, both sides. I have to evaluate how I'm coming to the table, how I'm showing up, and if it's bringing peace and joy into the midst of it all. So love grows. Continue to allow it to grow, but you only can grow it if you show up in order to take care of it.
And I would add to what you both said, something that you kind of alluded to earlier, Renee, and that is understand that what has worked successfully in one couple's relationship may not work successfully in yours. So you kind of have to, you know, chew what works, what you think can work, and leave the rest of it on the table and not make any apologies for that. Right. Because your relationship is your relationship and you have to work on your relationship based on the two of you, not those outside influences, right? So as we wrap up, tell everyone where they can connect and find you ladies. Renee?
You can connect with me on social media at Meditational Moments or my webpage at www.meditationalmoment.com.
And Ms. Weena?
Yes, you all can definitely find me at covenanttherapy.com. And you can also look me up. There aren't too many Weenas on social media, so check me out on IG.
So listen, wherever you're listening from, IG, Facebook, Book Loudly, the Buzzsprout pages, as I always say, drop us a comment, drop us an email so we can respond and interact with you. During the show or after the show, we definitely want to get some feedback from you and let us know if the insight you've received and are getting on the Griot's Remedy is working for you. I'm having fun with this, but I'm learning a lot. And I think the wisdom has been interesting. I'm so tickled because I promise you when I wrote this piece, I just thought Paige was just being a spoiled little wife, but boy, Paige has some stuff going on.
Hell yeah.
Paige has some stuff going on. But I think that's the beautiful thing, because I think through characters, through fiction, we can see so much of ourselves and then hopefully make the transitions and the transformation that we need to make. So next week's episode is about, we're really going to get into tearing apart those situationships that we started talking about a little bit in episode one, I believe it was, with a piece called Happy Birthday Baby. So that's going to be fun. So we will see you guys next week. Thank you so much for tuning in, ladies. Enjoy.
Thank you.
This has been another creatively powerful and engaging version of The Griot's Remedy. Be sure to tune in next week for a new episode, new insight, and discussion.
that gives you some things to consider as you take a look in your proverbial mirror. The Griot's Remedy, where fiction mirrors real life and everything is up for discussion. Your host is E. Claudette Freeman, editor-producer MJ Smith, production company Book Loudly, part of Pecan Tree Creative Solutions. Email us at bookloudly@pecantreebooks.com or find us at www.pecantreebooks.com.
The Griot's Remedy provides short fiction, theatrical excerpts, and excerpts of fictional works, as well as references, links, or other knowledge resources strictly for informational and entertainment purposes only. Anything said or discussed on The Griot's Remedy, though offered by coaches and mental health professionals, should not be taken as a replacement for individual and personal direct medical, clinical, professional advice, diagnosis, or medical intervention. Do not take any action based on any of the content you hear on The Griot's Remedy. Doing so is not suggested, recommended, implied, or wise. Producers, hosts, coaches, and therapists featured on The Griot's Remedy from Book Loudly, a division of Pecan Tree Creative Solutions, cannot be held liable for any consequences of the same based on individual discretion. Accessing, listening to, engaging in any fashion does not create or constitute a person-to-coach or therapist-to-patient relationship with the producers, host, or panelists. The opinions, banter, and comments presented do not substitute for professional mental health, emotional health, medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Visit the podcast site at bookloudly@pecantreebooks.com for resources related to the themes highlighted in this segment.